The Food Maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning, and it's nice here today. And by you, yes, I think so.
It's 32, 33, but it's, you know, we
practically do not have winter anymore. It just seems that way. And I don't know what that's going to do to seasonality of fruits and vegetables, but it's definitely having an impact. And that brings me to seasonality of fruits and vegetables, because in February, I never, you know, most of us don't think of anything as being in season, because we look out our window and it's all dead. However, there are some fruits and vegetables that thrive in cold weather, maybe not as cold as in Sharon, Connecticut, but pears are a winter fruit after all. And I'll get to them, I hope, but before we get off the air, it's all about picking your pears. But as far as vegetables go, I think everybody now knows that Brussels sprouts start appearing at the end of November because they've become a big Thanksgiving Day a vegetable. And in fact, if you buy them in November around Thanksgiving, you will pay a premium. I remember 2 years ago, I didn't buy them at all because it was $7 a pound. I thought, oh, my God, this has gotten out of hand. But then the price went way down, and actually right now you can buy superb Brussels sprouts for no more than $3 a pound and sometimes $2 a pound, which is really, I scoop them up and eat a lot of Brussels sprouts. But I'm eating a lot of fennel. Now, that's another winter vegetable that I think is under-discovered, underused, underappreciated. The fennel that we buy in the supermarket is a particular kind of fennel. There's another, I'll get to that. And that's in common parlance, it's Florence fennel. It is not anise. Many, many markets mislabel it as anise, A-N-I-S-E, anise. Some people say anise. I say anise. And now the flavor of anise is very close to fennel, but they're not the same plant. And anise seed comes from the anise plant, and which is mainly used for its seed or fruit. And fennel seed is less sweet than anise seed, and it's the, and by the way, so anise is used usually in sweet things, has a more floral, maybe you could say, aroma even than fennel, which is pretty aromatic, but fennel is used in savory things. For instance, Italian pork sausage are often flavored with fennel seed. Now, fennel seed comes from a different plant than the fennel bulb. It's you know, familiarly called wild fennel because it, around the Mediterranean, it grows wild everywhere. If you old listeners can remember, I used to grow wild fennel next to my apartment house in Brooklyn until the managing agent decided it looked too messy. I thought it was gorgeous myself. It grows into these tall plants with very feathery leaves. There are yellow blossoms early in the summer. That's called fennel pollen. They sell it for $1 zillion an ounce if you buy it in a store, which you can buy it these days, fennel pollen. And then there are seeds. And when they first come on the plant, they're green. And those are, I think, the best for cooking, but whoever has the opportunity to have green fennel seeds. But eventually they turn brown and you can harvest them, and I have some. I still have some from the plants that we destroyed, I don't know, it's got to be 4 or 5 years already. They stay a long time, and you know, they're still very aromatic. If I open up the jar, it's really get a big whiff of it. Anyway, back to the bulb, however, also called anise. It can be pretty expensive, I think, because I'm an old guy and I remember when it didn't cost anything. But my fancy neighborhood, if I have to say, fancy these days, It could be 249, even if it's 299, I don't buy it. But for 249, you should be able to get a really big, juicy bulb, and that will feed two people. So if you think about it as a you know, a dollar and a quarter a serving, it's nothing. I bought them the other day, not quite that big, but big enough. And I went through the pile to pick the bigger ones for $1.49, because this really is the peak season for fennel bulb at my good market, which is always has good prices. $1.49 is pretty cheap. So I bought a lot of fennel. I do a lot of things with it. We love it. It's also extremely high in fiber. The only thing I have to warn people against, some people take medications and cannot tolerate vitamin K. Fennel is not high in anything except fiber and vitamin K. So if you're one of those people, even though it is not, usually the vitamin K people are warned away from dark greens. I have a friend, for instance, who only eats iceberg lettuce. But in fact, fennel is not a dark green, so you might not think of it as being a vitamin K rich vegetable. Anyway, I don't eat the ferns, the leaves. You can just chop them right off. They have very little flavor. I see on TV people garnishing things with the or using the fennel ferns fronds. I should call them fronds, but I don't find they have much flavor at all. So and the stem part, the narrow part that holds these fronds, is also very tough. I think, speaking of fiber, so I cut that off. Actually, I cut into the fennel on a V, as a V on the top, because that's the shape of the fennel. By the way, the bulb itself is not a bulb, misnamed bulb. Think about celery and how celery broadens at the base until it finally gets to the place where the roots come out. It's the same with fennel. Fennel, however, makes this cluster of stem bases that we call a bulb. So if you think about it, and well, don't think about it, look at it when you cut it open, you'll see there are layers and layers of what look like the base of celery, except on steroids. That's a fennel bulb. So you cut off the base because there were roots coming out of this, by the way. Oh, by the way, this didn't all gel for me until like 25 years ago when I first visited Pestum, which is where I had my cooking school. And around Pestum, in that part of Salerno on this plain, they have extremely, extremely rich soil, and they grow a lot of fruit and vegetables, a lot of vegetables, that are sent up north. Even I always, one day I asked, how come there's so much cauliflower being grown? I mean, we all eat cauliflower a lot around here, but not that much. And the answer was, it mostly goes to Germany. The fennel, you drive around the area, and you're going to see this beautiful soil and white things coming up out of the ground, and that's the fennel bulb. It's a lot of fennel there. And, of course, it's a gorgeous plant because it has these feathery fronds. Speaking of a gorgeous plant, the Brooklyn Botanic Garden used to have the entrance to the Rose Garden banked with decorative fennel, meaning the kind of fennel that goes to seed and you eat the seeds of, not the bulb. It's a gorgeous plant. It should grow in the northwest corner, and it'll come back if you allow it to. That's why it's called wild. But back to the Florence fennel, also called anise, mistakenly in the supermarket. You can eat it raw. And in fact, my introduction to fennel was at Thanksgiving dinner when my Aunt Pauline, Christmas dinner. My Aunt Pauline, having grown up with a lot of Italians, as did my father, brought out at the end of the meal, big meal, a dish of raw fennel, which you were supposed to munch on after the meal because it was digestive. I'm not sure that my Aunt Pauline knew that it was supposed to be digestive, but she did know that it was a Southern Italian tradition to serve fennel at Christmas dinner as a digestive. So that was my first introduction. I'm not sure if I liked it or not. I can't remember. I do remember, I can see her now, just putting the bowl on the table. But I do eat it raw now. And because I have, I cook for somebody who doesn't like to chew a lot, I cut it extremely thin on a mandolin, and I could eat it just like that as a salad with either lemon juice or vinegar and good olive oil. I talked about new olive oil last week. This is a perfect place for your very fresh-tasting new olive oil, strong-tasting. But you can also combine the fennel with other things. You can actually just toss it into a mixed salad if you want. A traditional Sicilian way is to serve it with sliced oranges. Yes, and oil, too. And I think a lot of freshly ground pepper, black pepper. But I guess the way I most frequently cook fennel is basically in water, but with an addition of oil or butter, depending on what else we're eating, depending on my mood. If there's a lump of butter in the butter dish that needs to be eaten, I'll do a lump of butter. So first, cutting fennel in different ways makes a big difference. As I said, when you're eating it raw, I would make it very, very thin. If you can cut that by hand, great. If you're cooking it in a skillet, as I'm going to tell you, I just slice it down. Now, your end pieces are not going to connect with any of the, the core, which holds the other leaves together, but don't worry about it. So I cut it, I would say, a half inch thick. Most of it's going to be held together by the core. I arrange the slices in a skillet just large enough to hold the slices in one layer. If you're making more than one fennel bulb, you're going to need a pretty big skillet. I somehow think it needs to be in one layer. I've never tried it in two layers, but I never make more than two or three bulbs anyway. So, and I don't think most people would. So you put it in the skillet, and you just cover it with water right out of the tap. And then put in your hunk of butter or a glug-glug of olive oil. Put it over high heat. Let the fennel boil in the water with the fat until all the water cooks out. And by that time, the fennel will be cooked. And if you like, and tender and sweet, you put a little salt on it. You could actually salt the water a little bit if you like. I always just put the salt on at the end, and you can eat it just like that, and we do. However, if you have the patience, you can stand by your pan, reduce the heat. By the way, at the end, when the water is almost gone, you're going to want to reduce the heat anyway, but really reduce it, and cook the fennel slices in the little bit of fat that you've added, which will still be there. That won't evaporate. And they'll get a little caramelized on each side. That's really delicious. Another way, after you've cooked this, and by the way, I have a great gratin dish that goes on top of the stove or in the oven, a copper gratin dish, and I often cook it in the gratin dish because I want to put it under the broiler afterwards. So if you want, this is if you're having company, I think, and you want to fuss a little bit, you can top it with breadcrumbs, unseasoned breadcrumbs, mixed with grated cheese. It could be pecorino or parmigiano, whatever grating cheese you're using. Actually, you could do this even with shredded Gruyere or shredded Emmentaler, Swiss cheese. And it's a different thing, but it's delicious. And the breadcrumbs, to which I usually add for a quarter of a cup of breadcrumbs, about maybe a teaspoon or two at the most, of olive oil. And then put this over the top of the cooked fennel and stick it under the broiler until the crumbs get browned. If there's shredded cheese in there, you got to be careful. But the cheese will melt, of course. A very good, very good dish. Now, this week I got inspired by, I know why. Well, because, one, I had all this fennel in the house.
That'll do it.
To make something I have not made in years, and I just happened over it in my computer files, and when I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to make that, it's fennel. I guess you'd have to say casserole. It's not really braised because you don't cook the thing in fat, but you do cook it in oil and water. So I'm going to say braised, and I do it on top of the stove. Fennel braised with onion, oregano, and either chopped up sun-dried tomatoes that are packed in oil, or my inspiration, really good tomato paste, meaning tomato paste. There's no bad tomato paste as far as I'm concerned. I'm a big fan of tomato paste. Ends up, this recipe is in my last book, The Southern Italian Table. A couple days after I made it and gobbled it up, I said, oh, you know, I really should see if it's in the book or not. Because after you write a book, a lot of things get cut out by editors or by you because you have to shorten yourself. I always have to shorten myself. And I sometimes never know, did that make the book or not? Well, this made the book, and I'm glad it did because I made a big pan full and we ate it for dinner, I mean, with bread. It was just, we didn't need anything else. Then I made it again, and this time I didn't have any bread in the house. So we ate it with a side dish of chickpeas, which was a good combination, a real vegetarian, well, truly a vegan meal. So here's how you do the fennel. I use 2 medium-sized bulbs, 3 bulbs, depends on how many you're feeding, how much you can eat, depends. Well, let's say 2 medium-large bulbs, lop off the stems, cut the fennel into slices, as I described, let's say 3/8-inch slices. It's not quite a half an inch, not a little bit more than a quarter of an inch. So I'll say 3/8-inch slices. Again, don't worry if some of the ends fall apart. And arrange that. You're going to end up making 2 layers in this case. So arrange the first layer on the bottom of your pan, which is I used my gratin because in the end I did put breadcrumbs on it. I stuck it under the broiler and I didn't want my pan to break. So it's something that go from the top of the stove to the oven. Even a skillet is good. So that can go into the broiler for a couple minutes. So you make a layer, and then 1 medium onion sliced thin. Make a layer of onion. You're using half the fennel and half the onion. Sprinkle a little bit of salt, a rounded teaspoon. It's going to sound like a lot of oregano, but a rounded teaspoon of oregano, and dots of tomato paste, let's say pea-sized dots of tomato paste, or diced sun-dried tomato that were packed in oil. Not the dry ones, but the ones that are reconstituted. You can buy them in a jar. Some markets actually have them loose, so you can buy like a quarter of a pound at a time. And you chop them up. And, don't overdo the tomato. My recipe calls for, I have to say, in the book, too much tomato paste. I think that recipe was devised with canned American tomato paste in mind. And I was using my special Sicilian tomatoes paste, which not anybody can get. I have to have friends bring it to me from Sicily. But I'm not writing a book now, so I can use it. So without a book, I would say I used maybe 2 tablespoons at the most of this very concentrated tomato paste. American tomato paste is not nearly as concentrated. Anyway, and that's a layer. And then you do the same thing. Another layer of fennel, another layer of onion, salt, another rounded teaspoon of oregano, and the tomato paste, and the onion. So you should end with onion, I think, or fennel, whatever, but not the tomato paste. The tomato paste should be underneath. Now drizzle over the whole thing 3 tablespoons of olive oil. Another inspiration here, I have to say, is besides that I had my special tomato paste in the house and I had all these fennel, I had just bought myself a new bunch of wild Sicilian oregano at my market here in Brooklyn. They had a lot of choices in oregano this time, but I decided, I used this before and liked it, wild Sicilian. And this was like a super Sicilian dish. And you then put in, after the 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and I had Sicilian olive oil, which I just bought from the new oil, the Sicilian oil, which I just bought from Fresh Direct, and a half a cup of water. Cover the pan. Now, I did not have a cover for my gratin dish that I'm using, so I used a dinner plate, and you put it over, start it out until it starts simmering, and then put it over medium-low heat, and let it cook for 40 minutes, 40 minutes. And by that time, uncover it. During this 40 minutes, at least once or twice, uncover the pan, take a big spoon, and take some of a lot of juices will accumulate but eventually evaporate, and baste this whole thing with whatever juices you can push into the spoon. In my case, where I was using the super concentrated tomato paste, I also smushed around any dots of tomato paste that I saw. And that's it. After 40 minutes, and a couple bastes, your fennel should be extremely tender, as are the onions. It's all melded into some deliciousness that I can't even describe. There's that word umami that is used these days for a taste that's there, brings out other tastes. This is loaded with umami. I think part of the tomato part is very umami-ish. And if you want, you can top that with some breadcrumbs, half a cup of breadcrumbs for my gratin dish, with a tablespoon of olive oil mixed into it. I don't like this technique of drizzling oil or dotting butter. It doesn't really distribute well enough for me. So I just take the oil and I mix it into the breadcrumbs, and then I distribute the breadcrumbs over the top. It didn't even take 2 minutes to get a nice, crispy, browned crust on my gratin dish. 4 or 5 inches away from the heat. Don't put it too close. Then you'll burn it. And the dish, this is important. The dish itself, I think the fennel, is best eaten at room temperature. However, if you make the breadcrumb crust ahead of time, it'll get soggy-ish. So I do the crust part at the last minute. You're not heating the fennel through. You're just really just crusting it over. It'll still be a room temperature dish with a nice, crispy breadcrumb crust. Now, I was going to talk about pears today, too, but who has time?
Oh, yeah, we've got about...
Pears are another thing that are in season in the middle of the winter.
We've got time.
I don't understand why Valentine's Day became about strawberries. Yes, I do. They're heart-shaped and they're red.
That's right.
But pears can be heart-shaped and red as well, if you think about it.
Well, pears are shaped like me.
Red Bartlett's. I saw, some other red pears the other day. So I don't know why, we don't do pears for Valentine's Day.
We had a pear tree. Pear trees in my backyard.
Where?
In West Cornwall, outside of West Cornwall. Yeah, green pears. I don't know what that...
Well, let me say, pears do not ripen on the tree.
No, you got to take them off.
And you have to, so when you buy them in the store, let's hope that they're hard.
Yeah.
Because the ripe ones get bruised very, very easily. So pick pears that are not bruised, but they also may not be ripe yet. Give them, I don't know, a batch of pears varies, you know, in the market. And some pears are hard to tell when they're ripe, like Bosques, which are those brown pears. I happen to love Bosques, and I guess I've learned to not like to not mind them when they're crisp and not as sweet as they could be later. Mm-hmm. But I always have to try one the day after I buy it.
You know, when I was growing up in the backyard, we had pears, pear tree, peach trees, and we had apple, granny apples trees.
Well, apples, of course, you know, and all along the Hudson Valley, we're famous for apples. And I haven't mentioned this in a long time, but my next-door neighbor in Cornwall had an orchard, and he had colonial varieties still growing in northwest Connecticut. One of them, Newtown Pippins, were very rare 25, 30 years ago. Nowadays, they're being grown again. I'm not sure what the eating quality is of Newtown Pippins. I think they're sort of a tart apple.
Well, something obviously went very wrong with me because...
Yeah, but I don't recall any pears next door. Uh-huh. Asparagus, I have great memories of asparagus.
Yeah, my grandmother
had great memories of apples.
Yeah, my grandmother grew asparagus too, yeah. You would think that I'd been growing up with a healthy eating healthy. No, I became a horrible... I lived on a farm, and I had fresh food most of the time. And look what I became.
Let's face it. We both have weight problems. I eat healthy, and you do too now.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with, no. I don't think.
No.
I eat healthy, too much healthy, I guess.
That's exactly
Although
right.
my appetite is much diminished lately.
If our food intake and outtake was our bank accounts, we'd be very wealthy people, Arthur.
Yeah, people put a lot of, I don't want to go. Let's not do the weight thing.
No, no.
I'm having chewing problems. So I've been on sort of liquids the last couple of days, just so that I'm not in pain.
I'm going to try this fennel recipe because I've never taken fennel home. I've wanted to because I always compared it. I compared it to there's another vegetable that it looked like, but it looked like a human heart to me, so I never took it home.
Well, so why aren't we eating fennel on Valentine's Day?
Well, I'm going to bring fennel to my house, and I'm going to try this recipe because it sounds like it's easy.
You must have a copy of Southern Italian Table.
Yes, we have a copy here, and I know Joe will let it.
It's in there, and I followed that. By the way, I was very proud of myself. I don't have Alzheimer's. I remembered the recipe exactly as it was written. And only 2 days later did I go to the book and see that, I did it right. The only thing is, as I said, it calls for an extraordinary amount of tomato paste, which may not be necessary. If you have got tube tomato paste, which is more concentrated than the cans, then for sure, 2 tablespoons is going to be more than enough.
All right. We're out of time.
We are out of time.
There's
always something to talk about.
Well, we'll speak to you next week.
I hope so.
Okay, Arthur.
Take care. Have a great week, everyone.
You too. Bye-bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. You can find Arthur on demand at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.